You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone and public excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee, a Bruce Lee, abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning and use me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge. I need a shrink, I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, coon, cuckoo, and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the
a very good Wednesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in to the program. And it's going to be a good one. Yeah, how about that? Going to be a good one. We're going to finish up with Craig Grossi, former sergeant, United States Marine Corps, wrote a book called Craig and Fred, and we had him on Monday. Yeah, I had him on Monday, and he, lo and behold, we served together in Afghanistan, and he participated in some crazy stuff with one of the intel guys with First Recon Battalion. So anyway, we probably got sidetracked on that a little bit too much. Anyway, the he'll join us today, and we'll talk about the rest of the story, really, which is what his book's about. Coming home and then the process of somehow or other getting Fred back to the United States, which I have not heard of. Again, you've seen stories of dog handlers, what they've gone through to be reunited with their military working dog. I'll use that as a broad heading for the work that those dogs do. And so you've seen those stories, but this wasn't that. Okay, this was a stray dog. This was a stray dog in Afghanistan. So we'll hear the rest of that story. I'm sure it's an interesting one, but it sounds like an awesome one. And then what they essentially do, the story about the book is, what they do for each other. Craig Grossi talked about positivity in your life, and which is kind of interesting because that's not a story that you hear a lot from guys relative to post-combat related mental health. So I'm interested to find out more about what he has to say. And then after that, Eric Hamill, noted author of Things Marine. I want to say he's written 40-something different works and written between writing and pictures and things like that. We're going to talk about the Chosin campaign. And so I'm interested in some of the things I've seen written that kind of paint O.P. Smith in a very difficult situation relative to Douglas MacArthur and General Allman, who were his seniors in Korea at the time of the campaign, how, you know, On to the Yalu and Home by Christmas was the mantra. And in spite of hitting Chinese soldiers, after they got off the boat on the eastern coast of North Korea, you know, it was like, yeah, well, they're not coming back. So that's the, so that was, that seemed to be the sentiment, with Smith being more cautious than they cared. So, so we'll talk about all those things today in the third hour. It is Wednesday, so Mike won't be with us. So we'll talk to, Eric Hamill in the third hour, and you'll get to hear him. So a very good morning to you. That's what's on the program this morning. I want to play a little audio that I didn't play yesterday about the FBI. Yeah. So, and my point in doing that was data points, right? Data points. There's, a whole bunch of data points relative to the FBI that I didn't understand, that I don't understand. And so in looking at it, and this is just me, Mike McNamara, saying, I don't understand that. I don't understand how people get called to testify and don't get compelled to testify. So does that mean that if I got called to testify, that I could tell them, you know, hey, piss off, I don't want to testify? Could I do that? Would they not take any other action against me? I mean, I think they would, wouldn't they? Yeah, you know, that's my sense anyway, is that I think they would. So, I guess it's a head scratcher for me when I see that. And, I see that and I don't see it being followed up with contempt of court, with somebody being compelled to testify, with the legal mechanisms that go with, we're the oversight branch and we're conducting an investigation into this and you're telling us no. So you either need to produce it or somebody's going to jail. I think that's how that works. And when you have responsibility for oversight, then, you know, so, or is it that because of the Mueller investigation, nobody gets anything but Mueller? I don't think that's the way that works either. I think Mueller is entitled to conduct his investigation, but it doesn't mean that nobody else in Congress gets to conduct an investigation. So I guess I've watched this stuff and I've been, I would say, confused like a lot of people are. So I want to play a little audio this morning that I wanted to play yesterday. The other thing that was a head scratcher and I didn't get to it yesterday, but the whole thing in Utah, what's that about? You know? So the audio that I was looking for, evidently doesn't exist, which irritates me because I know it exists someplace, but I can't find it. So anyway, which is like, what was going on in Utah? What was that all about? And you hear, you watch TV and you see, you know, all the inflammatory rhetoric that gets thrown about, and you see Patagonia making statements and REI and environmental groups. And so it's like, okay, like, but you don't see the governor of Utah coming out and opposing the president. You don't see local politicians coming out and opposing it. So what is the deal? So I have some audio from that, too. So we'll take a look at those things. We'll take a look at today and see. And the other thing I wanted to, I'm looking for is the comment on the Marine Corps was at the Reagan Library over the weekend out here in California, and he spoke. He was on national TV on Saturday, just on the news, and then he spoke, I think, on Saturday or Sunday. And so I'm curious to see if at what point the Reagan people put that video up, and I'd be curious to hear what he had to say to them. So with all of that said, tomorrow is the, what would it be, the 76th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. So we remember that day that will live in infamy in American history, along with September 11th, 2001. So, yeah, it's also my birthday. I turned 60. Are you kidding me? Like, what? How did that happen? So, so with all that in mind, we'll get the program going this morning. As I said, it'll be an interesting program. I recorded the thing with Eric Hamill yesterday. He's an interesting guy. Chosen was the first book he wrote. He said it's his favorite book. He said there hadn't been a whole lot written about the Chosen campaign when he sat down to do the research for the book, and he got Lemanuel Shepard, yeah, how about that, to write the foreword of the book. And he chuckled and he said, I don't even know how I did that. I don't know how I pulled that one off to get him to write it. But he's an interesting guy in terms of writing. People continue to point out that this was a defeat for the Marine Corps, for Douglas MacArthur's command. But the goal of the Chinese was to annihilate the storied 1st Marine Division, to erase it from the map. And obviously that didn't happen. And I'll go over the casualties with you. And the casualties at the Chosen Reservoir are pretty astounding. One of the most amazing parts of the story is the Chinese and the way they did business. Some of the video that you see now, is they're in bare feet, and I don't care if you've grown up in bare feet since you were one. Bare feet in 20 below, and the what their feet look like is amazing. And so the condition of the Chinese army when it gets to northern Manchuria is not very good. And so the casualty rates from starvation, from exposure, are incredible. And that's part of the story as well. It's certainly part of the story on why after the initial fighting, and essentially the Chinese, essentially spend themselves in the vicinity of the reservoir, why the what's left down, as the Marines move back down the MSR, Chinese can't mount a serious offensive to retake that MSR, to cut them off, and to lay siege to the division. In spite of their numbers, they can't get there. And the other thing, that when you look at it on Google Earth, the route that is taken, I'll put the link to, if I can find it, I'll put the link to the overlay that you can use on Google Earth. That's pretty amazing. And it has all the push pins, all the hill numbers that you'll read about. It has dates for different push pins, and all major terrain features like the Tok Tong Pass is located. And again, these things aren't named on a map; they're just named, by Marines. Turkey Hill is famous, and so. It has all that labeled. So if you're a fan of history, this certainly kind of lays it out. The other thing that it does is that you don't see very much of is written about is Task Force Faith and their fight along the eastern side of the reservoir. Lays out where they were, their furthest advance, which is almost on a parallel with the advance of the 5th Marine Regiment, the 7th Marine Regiment on the west side of the reservoir. So anyway, I'll try to put that on the on the website as well with this, with the rest of the stuff. So with all that said, good morning to you. Good morning to you. Hope you're having a nice day. The president's going to announce. I was amazed as this news gets going. He will recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. What I was amazed is going back, and then they showed the audio, the video of George Bush saying the same thing. They showed the video of Barack Obama saying the same thing. They talked about the Senate, you know, endorsing, you know, that in, you know, by a vote of 95-5 or something like that. Bill Clinton, you know, saying the same thing. So, yet we've never done it. I don't know that Donald, I don't know. He's certainly, but I'm curious, because of his national security guys are no small part of his administration. Probably the most formidable people in his cabinet are his national security guys. And I'm sure they weighed in. And I haven't seen it be his habit since he's come to office to defy them. And H.R. McMaster over the weekend talked about this possibly giving the peace process inertia as opposed to the headlines that will come out of different leaders of the Middle East. So it'll be interesting, very interesting this morning. Now, again, the bloviating will begin, but again, in that part of the world, bloviating is a way of life. They don't confuse bloviating with substantive positions, which is why they were anxious to see Mr. Trump get elected. We don't want Barack Obama here. He is a Iranian sympathizer. We don't want him. We understand that Mr. Trump says things at times we could care less about those things. We care about his positions relative to the Middle East. He certainly has to say things because politics are politics. You know what? And so that is very much what you get, you come away with from the Middle East. They put stuff in the storefront window for you to see and to make you happy. And then there's everything else that's going on behind that. And a lot of times, it's not the same thing. So, with that said, the United States Marine Corps Band says good morning and makes it official. So, good morning to you. Everybody need a little motivation.
Our my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Check the weather real quick. Currently cloudy at 44 in Quantico. Camp Lejeune clouds in 64. Granbury, Texas, cloudy in 45. In Montana, sunny in 29. Twenty Nine Palms is cold. Sunny in 45. Pendleton, sunny 52. Okinawa, clouds, dark 63. Raqqa is cloudy in 56 late in the day. Marja, the coldest there yet. Well, maybe not. Clear, dark, and 42 degrees. The home of All Marine Radio, 57 degrees, headed for 75 today. Winds are out of the north at 8, which is a pretty big change. Winds have died down a little bit. But there's a whole series of warnings. Here in Southern California, and it's in the news, but when it gets dry like that and the wind picks up, and the wind's been blowing out here for probably three days now, I think you saw up in Napa what happens when it's so dry, and then the wind blows, there's very little humidity in the air, and it gets going. Bel Air. Evacuated. Yeah, Bel Air is right in the heart of West Los Angeles. So, that's things you don't see very often. A lot of times what you'll see is, you know, you'll see Glendale, you'll see Pasadena, because those are on the fringe, of the city. But when you see the four or five closed in Bel Air, that's like right in the heart of Los Angeles. If you're on Google Earth, if you look to see where Bel Air is, it is just adjacent to UCLA, which is in at the base of the mountains in West Los Angeles. So. But it happens in California when you get brush that grows and grows and grows, and there's no fire and there's no other mitigation of that. When you get this kind of activity, and these kind of winds, when you get a fire with wind, God only knows where it goes. So anyway, thoughts and prayers of people, but, the four or five being closed in Los Angeles, those of you that are familiar with D.C., it's like 95 being closed, right through the heart of the city, closing it down. And the city just doesn't work. City doesn't work without it. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check some news headlines. We'll check the early bird. More of All Marine Radio. And then Craig and Fred, we're going to hear part two of that story. So looking forward to hooking up with Craig Grossi today. And hearing the second part of he and his dog Fred, and then we'll hear from Eric Hamill, a noted author about things marine, and his favorite book we'll talk about today, and that is the book that he wrote entitled Chosen. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. All Marine Radio coming at you. Thanks for spending some time with us. Don't be afraid to tell your friends.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Wednesday. Okay, I didn't play this yesterday, and I wanted to play it. Now, I am not the biggest Tucker Carlson fan. Okay? One of the things I don't like about the people that have talk shows on Fox is the extent to which they... let's see. How do I say this? Everything's so over the top. Okay? Everything is so over the top. It's absolutely, positively ridiculous. And so, I think there's a way to do, and well, maybe there's not. Maybe I'm stupid. Like, Mac, you're just stupid, okay? You have to, it's, first of all, it's ratings, okay? So you gotta be, you have to be over the top, or at least near the top. And then, when you're at or near the top, what you have to do is you have to, the art of it is being articulate, maybe measured, maybe devoted to the truth, but near the top. Cause that's how you get ratings, and that's how you stay on the air. So this notion that you could do a show about the truth is, you know, far-fetched. Well, I don't know. You know, the McNeil Lear Hour did pretty well. And maybe if we, maybe when we look at, you know, news as entertainment and we judge it like that, maybe we should put out a really high-quality product and see what happens. Devoted to the truth. Wow, that would be different, huh? Anyway, so I have issues with most of these guys. Sean Hannity the most. Now that Bill O'Reilly is no longer on the air. But, you know, at some point the truth matters. And I'd say this to the people that lean left, too. At some point, doesn't the truth matter? Or is simply your devotion to your party, your side, is Trump's all? Which is the problem of the nation. There isn't the McNeil News Hour anymore, okay? There isn't Walter Cronkite anymore. And so what you have is what we have. So in the midst of that, I seek the truth. That's what I do. Okay, here's Tucker Carlson. I'll interrupt him and throughout. But he's talking about the FBI. And the reason I'm playing this is there's been enough data points that have made me kind of wonder about the FBI, starting with James Comey's bullshit conduct relative to the president. And I don't say, again, I'm not the biggest Donald Trump fan. I'd be perfectly content with Mike Pence as the president. But James Comey acting like he didn't say anything to the president because he was shocked. Right. Right. You went in there, he clears the room. And what do you think he's going to talk to you about? Your Christmas list? The menu for the next White House dinner? Probably not. Right? But it's pretty easy because this stuff happens, I would think, to the director of the FBI on a relatively regular basis where somebody wants to talk to you about something that they shouldn't talk to you about, and you have to look at them and say, I can't talk to you about that. And then the next part is, that if he was pushed to do something nefarious, it's cut and dried. It's black and white what Comey's duty is. He goes and reports that to the Attorney General. And the Attorney General either seeks protection for Comey, in terms of intervening with the President of the United States, or he does something else. He puts the President on notice. That is obstruction of justice. So, I mean, it's pretty easy. Comey's conduct, that's the first thing. Well, now what you see is the latest incidents where an FBI agent that is very much in the middle of the investigation with Hillary Clinton is caught tweeting or caught email text messaging. I'm sorry, caught text messaging his girlfriend. And I'm kind of curious how did these text messages become part of something public? Did she turn them in as a in some kind of other investigation, or was she so disturbed by them, given his position, that she turned them in? How did they become public? I don't know that yet. Kind of interesting, because again, it's not these weren't public. These weren't things that were posted on Twitter. These are just messages between them that evidently somehow or other got into the crosshairs of the FBI. So anyway, here's Tucker Carlson. That's the music.
Well, good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. For months, Trump defenders have alleged that Robert Mueller's investigation is tainted with partisan politics. They've noted, for example, the strikingly high percentage of prosecutors on Mueller's team who are also major Democratic donors. The president himself has frequently echoed these charges, implying that the investigation is a partisan...
Does that seem wrong to you? You know, it seems... It certainly seems wrong to me, but like I'm nobody, you know, Mueller, he used to be in charge of the FBI. But when you're scanning the list of people that you're going to bring on your team and you see that they've contributed money to the opposing candidate, wouldn't you want something that's impervious to those kind of charges? I think I would, but again, I'm not Bob Mueller.
Witch hunt concocted by his enemies to overturn last fall's election results, basically a coup. We haven't joined that chorus. Prosecutors, like military officers and surgeons, are trained to rise above their own politics in the service of duty, and most of them do that. In the absence of hard evidence to the contrary, it seemed wise to give this investigation the benefit of every doubt and wait for the outcome. We're Americans. We believe in the fair application of justice. We think that's what normally happens. Well, unfortunately, it's getting harder to maintain that faith. 2 days ago, news broke that a key figure in the Mueller investigation, a longtime FBI official named Peter Strzok, had been removed from his job for sending highly political text messages to his mistress, who's another FBI official. Apparently, those texts attacked President Trump and expressed affection for Hillary Clinton. Now, ordinarily, this would not rate a headline. Even career government officials are allowed to have political views. But this is no ordinary moment. Peter Strzok is at the very center of the two most politicized Justice Department cases in a generation. Strzok was, first of all, deeply involved in the investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server last year. At the conclusion of that investigation, it was apparently Strzok who changed the FBI's description of what Hillary did from grossly negligent to extremely careless. Now, the first description is a crime, the second merely a blunder. So, in effect, Peter Strzok exonerated Hillary Clinton in the middle of a presidential campaign. But then he kept going. Strzok went on to sign the document, the official document that opened an investigation into Russian meddling in the election, the very same investigation the Hillary campaign was calling for at the time, the one that has now completely overwhelmed the Trump presidency. And if that wasn't enough, it was also Peter Strzok who, according to news accounts this afternoon, oversaw the FBI's interviews in January with General Mike Flynn at the White House, the ones that resulted in Flynn pleading guilty to felony charges on Friday.
Okay, now, this is just all kind of background for the part of the interview that I want to play for you, because the part of the interview that's significant to me is, but Carlson setting it all up, is the guy's name is Genovese. He's a former federal prosecutor for the District of Columbia. Now, that's no small job, right? That's a big job if you're a federal prosecutor, because it includes, you know, lobbyists and all kinds of different people that do work, as well as members of Congress that work in the District of Columbia. So it's a big job. He comes on and he has very, very interesting things to say. But, so, you know, I said this yesterday. McNamara is the director of the FBI. And I sent Musselman over to go see Hillary Clinton's people, maybe her, but he's probably not going to get to see her. So he goes and talks to him and says, hey, we want to interview Hillary Clinton. And they say, yeah, we're not really, we don't know if she wants to talk to you guys. Well, we want to interview her. And, you know, Gunner's like, we can do this the easy way, boys and girls, or we can do it the hard way. What do you want to do? And what he comes back with, he rolls into my office and he says, hey, you're not going to believe this. And I say, what? She'll talk to us, but not under oath. And what is my reaction? I laugh, right? What do you mean not under oath? That's their condition for her to speak with us. Did she not be under oath? Now, this is a woman running for the presidency. Why would she have any objection to being under oath if nothing happened that was wrong? I mean, how big of a red flag is that? And then, you know, I'd look at Mike and say, hey, her ass is going to be under oath when we do that thing. Okay? So you take that message, and we can either do this the easy way or the hard way during the middle of a campaign. Okay, but we're conducting an investigation. Her testimony or her statement's going to be material to the investigation, and she'll be under oath like everybody else. I mean, so there's too many data points where you look and say, what is going on here? And then the other thing is I don't understand when Congress, who does oversight over you, is trying to exercise that oversight, and you won't provide records, you won't provide witnesses, you just say no. And there's nobody goes to jail, nobody gets no anything, no contempt, no nothing. So anyway, hence this has been rolling around in my half-empty head, you know, bumping into the sides. Like, what the hell? How does this work? We exercise oversight, you tell us to piss off, and we go piss off? We go to the corner and we piss off. I don't even know what piss off means, but we do it. Okay, we figure it out. I don't think it works like that. I think the people that have oversight over you also have the authority to compel you to testify. Unless somebody says this is national security, and then we go into closed session.
Apparently Flynn had no idea he was being interviewed, and that would explain why he didn't have a lawyer present. If true, that would qualify as trickery. It would be unethical. Again, like Zelig, Peter Strzok in the middle of it. So you can see why Strzok's politically charged text to his mistress might matter at this point. What exactly does Strzok say in those texts? We still don't know the answer to that because for reasons it will not even explain, the FBI won't tell Congress. So all the way back in August, the House Intelligence Committee sent a subpoena to the FBI asking for, among other things, information on why Peter Strzok was removed from Mueller's team. But instead of replying, the FBI simply stonewalled and said nothing. Well, that's not just infuriating, it's unconstitutional, because the FBI is not its own government.
Now, Tucker Carlson's on terra firma here. He's on solid ground. I don't get this. How does this happen? And then why does Congress stand for it?
It's a single agency within the executive branch of our federal government. It's accountable to, among others, the United States Congress, and therefore accountable to voters. Keep in mind, nobody elected Peter Strzok to anything. You elect members of Congress to keep people like Peter Strzok in line. Now, when people like Peter Strzok decide that Congress has no power over them, they're giving you the finger, and they're threatening democracy. That should not be allowed. And yet, amazingly, it's common. It happens literally all the time in Washington. Last summer, for example, Congress sought basic information about the infamous Trump dossier. Did the FBI pay for it or part of it? Did FBI agents believe the contents or use them to drive their Russia investigation? These are basic and central questions, and yet the FBI just ignored them. They didn't.
Now, I try not to get on the Republican bandwagon about this stuff, but the questions are legitimate based on what we've now learned about that whole dossier thing. What was the FBI role in that? And was that the pretext they used for the FISA warrant? Those are legitimate questions that somebody ought to answer.
Feel like answering, and they rarely do. Back in 2015, two Islamic extremists attempted to shoot up a Muhammad cartoon contest in Garland, Texas. Remember that? Later, it emerged that an undercover FBI agent knew...
Listen to this. This is amazing.
...the two shooters personally, and it even egged them on to, quote, tear up Texas. That agent even traveled with the terrorist to the scene at Garland, was present right before the attack, and tried to flee as it began. It's hard to believe that actually happened in America, but it did happen. You'd probably like to know why it happened, wouldn't you? Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin would like to know. He's repeatedly asked the FBI to explain why it shielded terrorists, how it could have failed to stop the shooting that happened later. And yet he still doesn't know. Senator Johnson's requests repeatedly have been stonewalled by the FBI. A year before that, in 2014, Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma asked the Justice Department information about the gun that the Tsarnaev brothers used to kill a police officer right after the Boston bombing. He never received an answer to that question. We could go on. There are many examples of this, but the point is clear. The FBI is out of control, and not just in the Trump investigation, but much more broadly. An agency charged with enforcing a law clearly considers itself above the law. And that's a threat to you and every American, no matter who you voted for. Joe DiGenova is a former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia.
Joe DiGenova. Now, if I could paint you the look of this, he's, I think, in the studio in Washington, D.C. Joe looks like somebody shoved a basket of lemons up his ass. He is clearly... the look on his face, his body language is extremely serious and somber as he's doing this.
He joins us tonight. Joe, given the centrality of Peter Strzok in these two investigations, Hillary email and the current Trump-Russia investigations, on what pretext could the FBI be denying these texts to Congress?
It's very difficult to see how they have any basis for denying Congress access to this data. They publicly leaked the reason that he was fired, removed from the case. So there can't be a personnel reason for doing it.
Right.
And even if there were, it wouldn't matter. Congress has a right to that data. They can receive it. They have to receive it. I think what's going on at the Bureau right now is very, very serious. It's very depressing for a former federal law enforcement official. This is not your mother's FBI. What's wrong with the FBI is not the average everyday agent. They're great. It's the management at the FBI that is the problem, and that management has not improved with the arrival of Mr. Wray. I cannot understand how Chris Wray, the current FBI director, can tolerate having Andrew McCabe on his staff at this point, given his history and his track record. I think the FBI is in very serious trouble. It started with James Comey. Comey, the dirtiest cop in America, destroyed the FBI's reputation with his bizarre personal behavior beginning way before his July 5th news conference. The Bureau is in trouble. It needs a major overhaul. And if it continues to resist Congress, I believe the contempt of Congress for the current director and other people in the agency is absolutely justified.
So now, again, this guy is not a talking head. Yada, yada, yada. This is a former former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. Okay? Joe DiGenova. DiGenova. You'll recognize him if you saw this. But he continues.
This is the most powerful agency in the federal government that can literally break down the front door of your house and take your freedom away, and they do that quite a bit.
Or show up at your house in the morning while you and your wife are in bed in order to frighten you like they did with Mr. Manafort. What a disgusting, awful display of raw political power. Not law enforcement power, political power. I think the Bureau has been politicized by Comey. I don't know what Ray's going to do about it, but he has a short time frame to fix it.
Is it conceivable, and this was reported this afternoon, we haven't confirmed it, that General Flynn at the White House in January, newly installed National Security Advisor, meets with the FBI, talks to them. They don't tell him this is a formal interview, and it's on the basis of that he's charged and pleads to perjury.
It was Andrew McCabe who sent those agents there, by the way. The man who...
But can you do that?
Yes, you actually can. But here's what's disturbing about it. It's technically okay to do that, but you have to ask yourself, given the history of everybody involved in that case, who were involved in the Hillary email server case, where they conducted a totally irresponsible, unprofessional criminal investigation, and then they turn up the heat on this investigation of Flynn, the same agency. This is politics. The Bureau has been politicized. You compare the email server investigation of Hillary Clinton with the investigation of General Flynn and President Trump's aides, and what you have is a despicable politicization of the Bureau. They can no longer insist that they are fair at what they're doing.
Well, it's the same charge. I mean, the same guy, Peter Strzok, apparently let the former Secretary of State off the hook for lying and then pushed the indictment on felony charges of the National Security Advisor for lying. So how is that?
Mr. Strzok has been hopelessly compromised since he expressed his political views to his paramour, with whom he was another FBI official that he was having a sexual relationship with. Strzok is no longer credible inside the Bureau. That's why he's now in the Human Resources Department.
Right. Just shakes the faith of every American in our justice
system. And it should.
And the cost is high. It will. It undermines the country, quite apart from this investigation,
indeed,
I would say. Joe, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, as I said, I'm not the biggest fan of Tucker Carlson in the world. But I have watched those same things. And I think they should disturb us all. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to have time to get to the whole Utah event. A few Marine Corps headlines. Navajo from the Marine Corps Times. Navajo code talker George B. Willie Sr. dies in Arizona. The Navajo code talkers honored a week ago by the President of the United States, maybe 10 days, and something that I think turned into something that none of us would have liked to have seen it turn into. Again, their contribution huge. And it wasn't just the Navajos that participated in that. There were different Native American languages used throughout that program, starting back to World War I, when it happened very informally within a battalion. Another report in Navy Times, sexually transmitted disease are on the rise in the United States military. The VA has halted new ID applications due to problems within the system itself. A Camp Pendleton Marine has been charged with distribution of child pornography. Navy's unveiled a new slogan, "Forged by the Sea." Okay, all right, I got it. And then in a report that came out yesterday, the DOD has said it has failed to file hundreds of military criminal fingerprints with the FBI between 2015 and 2016. As many as 601 cases have been affected. Distribution child pornography. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Anyway, that's you'll read more about that, I'm sure, at Camp Pendleton, a Lance Corporal, no less. I go back to yesterday. We had Chris Julian on, and I said, if you were king for a day, what would be the one thing that you would do relative to the Marine Corps? He said, I would get the idiots out of the Marine Corps yesterday. We can do more with less. We don't need them. Give us broader powers to get rid of them yesterday. Top five stories. One, U.S. to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, alarming some Middle East leaders. Two, DOD failed to file hundreds of criminal fingerprints. We've seen that story. And again, the number I gave you, 601, is only 2015 and 2016. Three, the Islamic State's caliphate has been toppled in Iraq and Syria. Why isn't anyone celebrating? I think people are celebrating. But the heavy lifting that remains ahead, you know, we've said this before. You do all that work to give yourself a chance now to fashion something. What's happening? Will this get screwed up again? Number four, Japan eyes air-to-surface missiles that would put North Korea within range. And number five, a return to Cold War posture, U.S. sending sub-hunting planes to Iceland. And let me just see if there's any Marine Corps stories. Big Army-Navy game coming up. Kind of an interesting story here. Sailor discharged from NAS Oceania for NAS Oceania's fuel spill. A sailor involved in a 94,000-gallon jet fuel spill at Naval Air Station Oceania, Virginia, has been discharged from the Navy. On May 10th, fuel was accidentally being pumped from an 880,000-gallon tank into a 2,000-gallon tank. The spill was not discovered until the next day. About 25,000 of those gallons seeped into local streams, according to Navy Region Mid-Atlantic, the command that oversees Oceania. The sailor discharged this week pleaded guilty. The charges last month was administratively separated in lieu of a court-martial. That's unbelievable. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Craig Grossi is going to join us. Craig and Fred. It's a cool story. He's written a book. It's about the power of what he calls positivity. And we all could use that in our lives. So you'll hear part two of an interview that we'll conduct here. Looking forward to it. And as he and I were in Afghanistan at the same time. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. Here's a quick email. Mac, I've been following the FBI for a long time, and I've certainly been a fan of the organization. It's hard for me to believe, though, some of the stuff I'm reading now. I don't know that there's any other way to explain it in that it has become partisan, which is something none of us would like to see. I will say this, we all have our own political views. Expressing them to your lover, one would think, is no big deal. Except if you're in that position. It's pretty distressing, to say the least. I had not seen that. Just so everybody knows, Joe DiGenova is a straight shooter. He is conservative. I will say that, but he's no stranger to law enforcement, and he's a straight shooter. Yeah, he does not have good things to say. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.